that God has covered us for all these things. There won't be a political answer for the problem. You know what? People have never been able to keep law. Law is, when I say that, I mean to keep law perfectly the way it is written. And we see how much law today is broken. And you know what? You know how many laws have been broken? Probably all of them, I would have to say, by someone at some time. Because we all do a little better at one thing and maybe not so good at another thing. And so, you know, it's a very interesting thing. Nobody can do perfectly in keeping the law. Not man's law, not God's law, not any law. Law is contrary to our fallen human nature. And so that's why the scripture says that by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So you see, the knowledge of sin comes to us by law. Why? Because we break the law. We are lawbreakers by nature. And this is the problem, I think, with a lot of us in our culture, is that we tend to think that man is not so bad. Oh, he's basically good and he's just a little sick. Well, you know what? With a perfectly righteous, holy God, a little sick is too much sick. And you are going to be condemned because God is totally holy. So that's the big problem right there. It's not that we don't keep the law most of the time. We do. But that one law that you break, and y'all know I've heard me teach this before, if the scripture says if you break the law or if you're guilty in one point, you have broken the entire law. So that's why no one can ever be justified. That means made right with God by keeping the law. You know why? Because God is perfectly holy. Absolutely holy. I can't even really wrap my mind around it. I know it's true because the Bible says it's so. And so this is what God did. He knew that we had a problem. Think about this one, and I'll say this just before we move along into my study today. This is really going to bless you if you get a hold of it, and I hope you will. Think about this. The whole world was crashed into sin by the transgression of one man, as the book of Romans says, in several places in the New Testament. His name was Adam. And the sin he did was to eat a piece of fruit. How simple is that? There was nothing wrong with the fruit. The fruit was totally holy. God made it. It was perfectly righteous, like everything else in Adam's environment. The whole environment was 100% righteous. So what made biting a piece of fruit such a terrible transgression? Well, the thing that did was the fact God had made a law. And that law was, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden, or you shall surely die. So it was the law that made eating a piece of fruit sinful and crashed the whole human race, me and you, all of our forefathers, all of our descendants, everybody, all the way on back to Adam, completely in sin. And he said, boy, that one little thing, eating one thing, and God, I think, wants that to stick with you. Because it doesn't take but just a little disobedience. The scripture says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, some of you who bake, and I see all y'all on there with all them cookies and cakes and different kind of stuff. So y'all know about baking, many of you. And most of our mothers, all they know about some biscuits, let me tell you, and some pound cake and all those good things. And they are so good. You can see it like right here. But in either case, we know that a little leaven, which is yeast, you can put it in a big batch of dough. The dough will be kind of flat and all of that. You throw in the yeast and it swells up into a big old thing. And that yeast permeates that whole bundle of dough. So that's what the scripture uses that as a metaphor to say a little leaven, just a little bit, leavens the whole lump. And you know what they do? They take a pinch off of this batch here when they're making rolls and biscuits, make all the rolls and everything. And the little pinch they took off, they throw that in the next batch, and boom, it blows into a big old thing of two. Because that leaven permeates the whole lump of dough. And so that's why Paul was telling the Corinthians, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And leaven is a symbol of sin in the Bible. So this whole world is leaven in the sight of God. In other words, it has sin, and it continues to permeate the whole globe. That's why every man, woman, boy, and girl needs salvation. There is no one who can present themselves before a holy God without a spot or a wrinkle. Not anyone, anywhere. And never has been since Adam sinned. And so we don't look at it that way. What we're talking about now is the worldview that you and I have. How do you view the world? What do you think about the world? What is your view of the world? And so the answer is, we have the worldview that all people are corrupted through and through with sin. Doesn't mean they do everything wrong, but it just means they do not do everything right. That's the big difference. We don't do everything right. And what God would require of us would be if you could live from the womb to the tomb with no sin, not ever breaking his law, then he could accept you. So I always tell people there are two ways to be saved. Be completely holy from the time you're born to the time you die. Never break God's law and he'll save you. How many people have done that? Only one. And his name is Jesus. And so this is the reason why you and I need Jesus. This is the reason why God loves us and gave Jesus. So the one answer for all of the sin and everything that you and I are struggling with, you know what, people who don't know God and don't appreciate the truth, which there are many, many, many of them today, well, people disregard man's law. I've been watching more and more every day, seeing people just run stop signs and run lights because there's no police handy or present to police them for doing that. And we talk about the police, but you know, there's some bad police, and most of them are good. A lot of the ones I know are very good people. They're human beings who've dedicated their lives to protecting others. But there's some bad apples in there. We've been seeing that, and they've been popping out in the news left and right. And so there are some bad apples, but the majority of them, I got some personal friends who are police, great people, some of the best people you ever want to meet, a few of them. And they wouldn't go out and do the kind of stuff that we're upset about. It upsets the culture and has rocked the whole world. And they defend the truth. But let me get back to my original train of thought. I don't want to go there. I digress. That's another whole subject in and of itself. But God has made it so that you and I who believe in him, and not just us, anybody. You know what he put the message of the gospel is to the whole world. And we have been charged as the church, in other words, believers in Christ, to dispense the good news about Christ to the world. God has one message for all men, women, boys, and girls in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. And he dispatched the church, told them, go out and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the days, is the literal Greek, even to the end of the world. So God says, I'll be with my church all the way to the end of the world. We don't need to worry about the kind of mess that's going on, the crazy stuff. See, that's why it says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. See, God wants you to not be fearful, but understand I am with you all the days. And I have given the one solution for your problem with breaking my law. His name is Jesus. He came and I heaped up all the sin of everybody and all of time on him. So when you see the cross, it's not somebody, a martyr, dying for something. None of that. It's actually God himself taking up on him my sin and your sin. And heaping it up on himself so he doesn't have to give me what I really deserve. And you know what I'm going to say right now? Hallelujah. Thank you that you're not going to give me what I deserve. You don't ever go to God talking about give me what I deserve. Or you'll be in a world of trouble. You don't want that one. You know what I'm saying? But I'd rather have the mercy. That's why God has given his son. And he said, whoever believes in him, that's what he requires. Trust him that he has provided the solution for your sin. And his name is Jesus. That's why Jesus is in the center of time. The only one in that spot. No one else. And that didn't happen by accident. I guarantee you sinful men would not have done that had not God made it so. And so realize this. God loves you. He gave Jesus for you. A lot of people know about the cross, but they have no idea what it means and how does it pertain to me. See, that's the important thing. I need to understand, what is that grisly cross for? We've seen the Passion of the Christ, which is probably a very minor, mild depiction of how awful what happened back when Jesus was crucified really was. They say, oh, that's terrible, Mel Gibson. How you make that thing so bloody? It was way more bloody than what Mel Gibson could do. I'm going to tell you right now. And the fact is, only God could do that. Only God could suffer like that. He couldn't just be a man like me. You know what? If I slashed my wrist, I would be dead in 10 minutes max if nobody come and help me and stop the bleeding. Jesus bled all night long from the time they began to pick him up from the Garden of Gethsemane and beat him and flogged him, took him to different places, to different people, authorities, so-called authorities, and they all did their little things, and they continued to abuse him and beat him and flog him all night long, you know? And you want to talk about a mistrial and something unjust. The courts were closed. The actual courts and the true legal offices were all closed, and they were carrying him around at night trying to get their dirty work done under the cover of darkness so that we can get this over with. Because we have a holy feast that we want to keep. They fought. But God knew they would do that. And all of that is recorded in gross detail in God's Word. If we looked in the Word, you would be amazed that this scripture tells you everything that would happen to Messiah before it happened. And if Jesus went through as he was going through his passion, as we call it, and he continued to do everything that God had written through the prophets, all the way from Moses to Malachi, until he did every one of them and was able to say, "It is finished." And he was bleeding all night long from many wounds, having been beaten and spit upon and mauled and mocked and criticized. You know what? Just the mockery and the shame that he went through would be enough to shut you down or me. We would have been and checked out a long time ago. You know, just from that. Imagine if somebody stripped off all your clothes and pushed you out into the middle of Natural Bridge. That would be so humiliating. I don't know what you would do. It'd be a horrible thing, I'm going to tell you that. Put it that way. But they did him way worse than that. Then they stripped off his clothes and gambled for them. And who's going to get the seamless garment? And all of that was written in the scripture. So this is the kind of stuff, that's why it says in Hebrews, it says, for the joy that was set before him, Hebrews chapter 12, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. See, in other words, he victoriously completed everything necessary, even though he despised the shame. See, and that's how much he loves me and you, that I would do all of this to keep you out of hell and to keep this one out of hell. I sure need it. Maybe you don't need it. You might be better than me, and chances are you are. But the fact is, God said, I got to provide something, or either I have to send them all to hell. And he doesn't want anyone going to hell. You don't hear much about hell in the modern church. It's all through the scripture. And Jesus preached about hell a lot. And modern teachers think, oh, you can't talk about sin, can't talk about hell, can't talk about judgment. But you know what? Jesus did. And so that's why you hear it from me. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad. You know what? The gospel ought to make you feel good. Because God loved you so much, he wants to spare you from judgment. He wants to spare you from hell. He wants to spare you from the breaking his law and all that. And that's mercy. That's what you call mercy. He's such a righteous God. He loves you so much. He wants you to have his mercy. And he wanted it to be preached in the whole world. And so that's where we come in, the church. But what I want to say now, let's go ahead and cut to the chase. I do have a good word, and I hope this is going to bless you even more. The reason that he does it is so he can prepare a people for his own possession. In other words, he owns me and he owns you. If you believe in his son, he adopts you. He's like a dad that says, come on, I love you. Now, we talked about this a little on Father's Day. I love you. You may be cast out from somewhere, but not here. I'm here with open arms to love you, forgive you, bless you, teach you, nurture you, give you whatever things you desire. I'm here to fulfill you, to make you a whole man or a whole woman, to cover you for stuff that people have neglected you for and all of that. And you can know that you have a great relationship with me because look what I did for you. I gave you my son and he died. And not only did he die, but notice this, since he had no sin, he was able to rise out of the grave after 3 days and nights. And we talk about that. That's such a wonderful thing. The resurrection of Christ is the proof that death has been defeated and swallowed up in victory. And we really, death is not the end for those who trust in Christ. It's not the end for the ones who don't trust in him. But you know what? They're going to be in eternal punishment because they had their whole lifetime to receive God's grace and mercy, and they refused it. So this is why we preach. And I like to make it very plain. So no matter who you are, what you're doing, God loves you. You know, and you could be doing some terrible things. Doesn't make a difference. God loves you, and he will save you. He's going to keep his end of the deal, If you trust Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, the scripture promises you shall be saved. And I can boldly declare that to you today because that's what Jesus wants. You know what? He'll take care of the rest. Once you say, I trust Christ, I need that mercy. There's no way I could be right if it only takes one sin to plunge me into hell. I know I have sinned. Lord, I accept your grace. I accept your son. I accept his death, his burial, his resurrection on my behalf. And God says, you shall be saved. Now, you know what? He's going to fix you up. My job is to teach you what he said. That's why he told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the good news that I've given my son, raised him out of the grave, so you know he was successful. And I did it for you, every one of you. I don't care who you are. You know, you can, if you can hear my voice, he even says that. Today, if you can hear my voice, harden not your heart. Receive the blessing that God has given you. See? And think about that mercy. I tell you what, I can relate to the songwriter who wrote that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And that's what happens. God will give you a spiritual awakening, and he'll wake you up. But he didn't do it so that we can be a bunch of stiff shirts and go around and not forgive other people. This is the part that I want to talk with you about today, because I see so much of it today. You wonder, how do we get like this? And I've been seeing more and more discussions about this on TV and different places from other ministers and ministries. So I wanted to talk about it today a little bit. You know what? God, when he does forgive me and you, he wants us to also be forgiving. If you understand the worldview that God has given concerning his son and concerning yourself and myself, then you want to be like God. You want to be God-like in the sense of how you show mercy, in the sense of how you forgive, in the sense of how you see other people's predicament. Because when people don't understand what you're talking about, this gospel, then they are not saved and they're working in a different system. A lot of people reject the gospel. See? And if they do, you want to be like Christ. You want to be merciful. You want to be kind and you want to be forgiving at all times. And so I want to share a verse with you here from, I got this in my mind because one of my sisters on Facebook just the other day posted it. And I think about it all the time, but it reminded me, well, when she asked about doing the Lord's Prayer, she said, pray the Lord's Prayer with me all day. And I think about it all day, a lot of days. But the fact is, it goes this way. His disciples asked him in Matthew chapter 6, he was actually teaching a message here. We call it the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. And he goes on to say, I want to zoom in right on verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. The word heathen means folks don't know God, have no relationship with God. He says, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They think, oh, let me say a lot of words and say a lot of incantations and maybe God will hear me. But no, you know what? God has no problem hearing you. He loves you just like you are. He knows what you're going to say before your lips start to move. See, so saying a bunch of words doesn't impress him at all. He already knows what you're going to say. So you got to be for real when you come to God. Looking on, he says, but be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. See that? Rely on God's omniscience. I'm not telling him anything. He knows everything. And he still loves me. That's what's so amazing. Is he knows everything and he still loves me. Wow. That ought to floor you right there. So I don't have to try to impress him with platitudes or fancy sayings or words. Just tell him what's on your heart. That's what old folk used to say. Just call him up and tell him what you want. Amen. Ain't that the truth? Amen. But look on. He goes on to say, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Jesus teaching what we call the model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Sanctify God's name, because it's the highest name there is, and he is the only one. Lift him up high. Exalt his name. Let the thought of God be the highest thought you could possibly have in your mind. Then pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, you know what? Everybody that's in heaven does exactly what God says and what he wants. They do his will. That's why the holy angels are there. And I always like to mention this. Two-thirds of the holy angels are there, and they are servants to serve the heirs of salvation. Only one-third fell with the devil, according to the scriptures. So God has twice the force that the devil has. So don't ever think the devil, oh, he's everywhere and doing everything. No, he's got a third of the heavenly host who sinned and fell with him. But God has two-thirds to minister to you who believe, to minister to me who believe, to minister to all those believers, Hebrews 1:14 says. See, so God is always there to minister to your needs. So he prayed that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice this, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, God, supply what I need today for me to function today. I don't have to stack up a bunch of stuff. Later on, Jesus said, behold, the birds of the earth, the fowls of the earth, they neither sow nor do they reap, neither gather into barns. In other words, they're not planting nothing and they're not reaping anything. They don't store it up in barns. But you know what? They trust God every day. And you have never seen a bird starving anywhere. The birds can find what they need because your heavenly Father feeds them. So how much more shall he not feed you, O ye of little faith? You can trust God just like the birds do. Another thing I noticed about the birds on that tip, just got to mention it before my time gets away. The birds trust God. You know what they do every morning or every evening whenever they come out? They begin to chirp and praise him like they do every day. Don't make no difference if it's a rain or a storm, a disease, a pandemic, whatever it is, I'm going to praise him today. See, we got to get like that. Learn something from those birds. Now, I know we got some bird brains. We need to watch out for them. But I'm talking about like the real birds who actually praise God every day. You know, praise him anyway, no matter what you're going through. See, the sickness, praise your way out of it. Pray your way out of it. Know that he's there, and he's there to meet us at the point of our needs. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But going on, he says, and give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Now, this is where we're getting into what I want to talk about just a couple of minutes before we're done with the Bible study. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, when we owe stuff, boy, I tell you, you want to strike a nerve. Let's not start talking about bill collectors and all the kind of stuff that really stirs us up and gets us where we might get a little out of sorts or get that lie in our mind, tell them I'm not home or I'm not going to answer you. Or none of that. And it's not just talking about that kind of bills. It's talking about other bills that we owe one another. Like we owe each other mutual respect. Now, that's one of the big problems with the issues in the world now is that certain people don't get equal respect. They get treated differently. There's a double standard or maybe a triple or a quadruple. There's all kinds of different standards about people in the world. But Christians should be people who understand and teach and think like Jesus did. Jesus is for everyone. It doesn't make any difference what color. I was listening to some folks online talking about all the folks pulling the statues down and all of that. And then somebody else came along and talking about statues of Jesus. I said, first of all, there really aren't any statues of Jesus. There's statues people made, and they say that it's a statue of Jesus, but they didn't know what Jesus looked like. So it's really kind of just a thing that men did. But the fact is, it's showing disrespect to the person of Jesus, because such a statue supposedly represents Jesus, and now they want to pull them down too, along with everything else. So, but that's the way the devil works. He's so confused. Once he starts up a thing, it'll make go and do anything. Who knows? You know, if you listen to the prince of darkness, who does not honor and adore God, which he does not, all he does is covets God's position. He wants to be like the Most High. See? So, yes, desecrate everything that represents anything that's righteous or holy. That's his philosophy. So some of these people have picked up on a demonic philosophy in the process of doing some of the stuff they're doing. Another whole subject. Let's get back to talking about the prayer. I want you to see here, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. See, realize we want God to deliver us. He will do it. You know what? I'm way better than I used to be. There's some folk out there who knew me long ago. They probably are just blown away. Boy, how could his brother be preaching anything? You know what? But it's not about me. It's about him. It's about his son. It's about the divinity of Christ. Because Christ is as much God as he is man. He is as much man as he is God. He's the only one like that in the whole world. And that, therefore, he is a qualified high priest. In other words, a mediator between us and God, who can perfectly represent us by being a human being born of a woman, the only begotten Son of God, and also being God in the flesh. He's God in the flesh. And so he's the incarnate deity. A lot of songs that have been written, you sing them around Christmas, speak of the incarnate deity of Christ. In other words, he is God, but he's also man. There's no one else like him. He's the only link. That's why it says that there's one God, one mediator also between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. And so honor Christ. Love on him like he loves on you. He loved you so much, I came all the way out of heaven to be confined to a womb for 9 months, born in the world, raised without sin, represented and preached and taught the things of God, fulfilling the old covenant from Moses to Malachi, gave my life as a ransom for your sin and the sins of the whole world to settle the debts of everybody who owes God. You know who that is? Everybody. And so the fact is we all need him, and God provided him. Otherwise, we don't have any hope at all. So that's the good news of the gospel. But notice now, once you've received that forgiveness, which God so freely has given, verse 14, this is where it gets a little tight, saints. And so stick with me here. Matthew 6:14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you see that, you know what, if we really get a hold of the gospel, we realize God has said, Fisher, you know what, how wretched you are, I've wiped your slate clean, so I expect you to forgive everyone else, just like I forgave you. Like, wow, well, you know, we like that first part. I have to say, I really like that. Oh, yes, God, forgive me of all my sin. But how do you like that second part? You need to forgive others of their trespasses, or your Father will not forgive you. So I think right there, boy, I tell you, that hits you pretty hard. Think about that. Whoever it is you don't like, whoever it is that's a kind of a sore, sticky spot in your head, those are the people that you want to pray about. Because if you get in the right mindset, you'll be able to forgive them even as Christ has forgiven you. What they did to you is smaller than what you did to God and what you do against God. See? So if we want a flow of forgiveness from God, we also need to offer a flow of forgiveness to others and forgive those who trespass against us, like it says in this prayer. So I want you to think about that. If there's somebody you're not forgiving and it's easy to do, doesn't mean that the show is over. It just means that's an item of prayer. I want to take that before God. I want to pray on that thing day after day after day until God gives me the peace that I need in order to say, okay, I forgive you. I heard a young lady, and I'm just going to mention this, her circumstances were dire on the news, but I was listening to her say, what you did, you wrecked my life because somebody came and destroyed someone she loved. But she said, but I forgive you, and she understood this principle. I forgive you because I know I want God to forgive me. What you did was tremendously horrible, but I forgive you. That was just so rich. I saw another one where a young man was in court and a young lady had killed his brother. And he asked the judge, can I give her a hug and show my forgiveness? Oh, that's so large. It is. It really is, because it manifests the kind of love God has given me through his son. And I want to give that same kind of love to others. And it's easy to say, but you got to really pray to get there, saints. But this is where we need to be. If you're not saved, I want to recommend to you right now, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God is raising from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. And when you are saved, you will be able to bless others and give that same kind of love God has given you. Amen. So I hope this lesson has been a blessing to you. I'm about done. Didn't want it to be too long this week. Amen. But I do. This is powerful. Pray on it. And this is what I want to say just as I prepare to close. If you begin to pray on it, God's going to begin to give you the capacity to do what he has told you to do. There's nothing God has given you to do that he will not equip you to do and make it very possible for you to do it. You know what I've learned and gotten further up the road more through prayer and fellowship with God? Some things he even says earlier in the same sermon, you got to fast on it. Fast on it. Let it be a secret thing between you and God. God, I'm not feeling this. There's a lot of stuff I have conversations like that with God. I don't know about you. All right, I'm not feeling it. I don't see how I can do that. And I talk with him. And then, you know what? He talks back with me. And next thing you know, I find myself, it's not that I don't want to do it, I just am not feeling it. See? You got stuff just like I do, I'm sure, that you're not feeling it. God said do it. I really am not feeling it. Because this person here, they did something to me. You don't know how horrible it was. Pray on it. Be a forgiving person. Let God, the Holy Spirit, minister to your spirit. It's going to bless you. See, you know what? Bitterness destroys the container that holds it. So if you're holding bitterness, oh, you're working on your own self. You are actually doing destruction to your health, and you got acids pumping in your stomach and adrenaline flowing through your body, and you get all upset and fly off the handle. And that's really hurting you. It's not hurting the person who you have the grudge against or whatever it is. It's hurting you. So you'll be better off if you do this. And I just wanted to recommend that to you this week for our Bible study. And I pray you did get a good word from what we're saying here. And I want to say this again, just as I make a close. What I want you to do, if you got questions, comments, if you want us to pray with you, we call that intercession. When you pray for someone else, try praying for that person who has wronged you, that you can't forgive, that you don't want to forgive. Pray for them. And ask God to change them, change their heart. Ask him to change you, change your mind. Take out the bitterness. Get rid of that root of bitterness. God will do it. And then the peace of God that passeth all understanding will rule your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And you can be like Paul. Paul was ready to forgive all the people because he realized he was a terrible wretch before he got saved. You know? And he became one of the most forgiving individuals you can read about in the Bible. When you get time, read the book of Philemon, the epistle to Philemon in the Bible. It'll bless you, too. It's about a runaway slave who Paul wrote a letter, which is the epistle to Philemon, to ask Philemon to forgive Onesimus, who stole from him and left his house. Read that. It'll bless you. Amen. So hope all things are good with you. If you want us to pray with you, as by all means do. Send it to me either via Facebook or email if you like. I can be emailed at pastor@sttmbc.org, or you can hit me up on Messenger or however you want, but I am here to pray for you. Or if there's anything you have a question about, please send that as well. We'd be delighted to take you into the Word and help you understand things that you want to know. Amen. So God bless you. You have a blessed the rest of your week, man. I look forward to seeing you on the weekend. And may God richly bless you. Amen.